Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Some of You Show. My name is Elisa.
My name is Liz. Hey, baby girl.
Hello.
Hello. I know.
I know.
What a week. What a week. Anyway, it's a very cold, peaceful, snowy day in New York. Are you guys getting snow? Because sometimes your weather is just like ours, which is so weird, but thank you, global warming.
No, it's just super cold. I mean, we had snow this past weekend, and
right.
It's mostly melted off. There's still a few patches because of the weather. I mean, the temperature has stayed pretty cold, so no snow, though.
That's
is
good.
Fine with me. It's just really, really cold out.
Oh,
so.
I had no idea it could get so cold in Atlanta.
Yeah.
We were there in January, and it was, I might as well have stayed in New York. It was just as cold. Unbelievable. And, you know, but of course climate change doesn't exist, and there we go.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And for an area that's really, this is so new, this is just in a few years that you're dealing with snow and sub-zero temperatures, frigid temperatures. That must be quite a culture shock, I would imagine.
It is. I mean, we know it can get cold. I mean, my senior year of college, for our spring break, we had a blizzard.
Wow.
Yeah, that was an interesting spring break because I was.
How ironic!
I stayed on campus. Yeah, I stayed in Atlanta. And in part because I didn't have a car. I had gotten into a car accident in January.
Oh, my goodness.
And my car was totaled, so my parents were coming up. They were going to come up for a conference. My dad had something to go to. And usually when he goes somewhere like that, he brings my mom. And it happened to be in Atlanta. I think he kind of decided last minute to do it, so he said that we could all be up there, up here, and he figured he could go to the conference. Mom could take me around to go car shopping. So that's what we did. But, you know, it was this very extreme conditions. I had to find he waited so late he couldn't go to the hotel that was hosting. They were already completely booked, so I had to find him another place that was closer to to me because they don't really drive, like, you know, my mom doesn't want to drive around. So it would have to be something where my dad could get to. And then just the logistics were crazy. So I'm like, okay, I'll pick some place close to me, even though it's not very close to your conference downtown. But that meant I had to venture down. Then, you know, he'd pick me up, then I'd drive them down, drop him off.
It's so complicated.
Yeah, and then, so he had rented a car, like a brand new car, and so I'm taking this brand new rental to these used car lots,
that's
and they're all like, so you want to get a new car? You're going to do a trade-in? I'm like, no, this is a rental, so show me your cheapest cars.
Yeah, right. Hello. I'm a 20-year-old college student.
Right. And so it was really cute because my mom would be in the car. She's like, so she's in the back seat. So what do you think? I'm like, well, it doesn't drive like the car we just drove in on. You know, it doesn't. I feel like
no kidding.
Mom, it's really hard to compare. So, yeah, we ended up picking a really crappy Nissan Sentra that was not all cylinders were firing, probably quite literally. But I managed to make that work for another year and a half or so before I got into another Honda.
How many cars have been in your stable?
That were actually mine. Let's see.
How many cars have you gone through? Whether they were actually yours or not. How many cars have you had relations with? Because you get all involved with your cars, you know. She names them. What's the name of this new one?
Lady Gray.
Thank you. So she names them. Felix was another one, right?
Yeah, Felix was the one before that. It was a Honda Fit, and then before that was Carson. No, before that was Sid.
Oh my God!
Before that was Carson, and then before that was just
Jesus.
I think we called it the Honda Action vehicle. It was just, you know, because we drove everywhere. It was another Civic. So five. And then that Sentra that I didn't name because I didn't like it. Six. Yeah, six. And then if I take into account my parents' cars, probably another two. So eight.
Right. Yeah,
so,
eight.
But
yeah,
I didn't call it.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully you and Lady Grey will stay out of trouble. And yeah.
But that's also eight vehicles since I started driving when I was a teenager.
Yeah, you know what? And I can't even speak on that because I have no idea of how that works. I know people who, you know, they do a lease situation and every year or two.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that doesn't really.
About 2 years, people change it out. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, I've Carson I had for like 14 years. You know.
Oh, that's a long time.
Yeah. So
that was
the car I got after it was a car I got after I got rid of that that Nissan, as a matter of fact. I had Carson for a long, 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 long time.
That was an upgrade.
It was, and it was a used car. But it was a Honda. So I had kept it for a really long time.
Yeah.
And it couldn't go anymore. And then I kept the next car for like 5 years.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I tend to take good care of my stuff. So those are my car stories. But
all
yeah,
right.
So blizzards and whatnot, all things, you know, being equal, they do wreak havoc here in Atlanta. I mean, when I was looking out my dorm window, like the snow was falling upwards. It was this very, it was a really crazy time. And it was a little adventure though, because when you're on a college campus, I mean, you assume there'll be a level of accessibility to things that are, you know, to some of the structures, but you got to think, you know, these workers don't live on campus. You know, they still have to get there. So a lot of it was shut down. You had to kind of venture through the snow to get to the supermarket, the really expensive supermarket in the village, you know. But, you know, we were college kids, so we would get, like, the worst things possible. You couldn't get any fresh produce. You know, you didn't think about any of that stuff. Like, let's get these all these packaged foods. And I'm old enough, I'm going to get a bottle of wine. We're going to get, you know, we were getting all these random
things. I know somebody who's old enough, I can get a bottle of wine.
Right.
I should not even say this on the air, but you know who's listening. I'm just kidding. But look, my son is turning 19. So every once in a while, you know, look, you want to have a drink at home, honey? Have a drink at home. You know, we have a glass of wine.
Sure.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And if let's say somebody has come over with a bottle of wine that I don't particularly like, I can't drink red wine. I'm allergic to it. And I don't like very sweet wine. I like very dry white wine or very dry sparkling, maybe an occasional rosé, but that's pretty much it.
Right.
So I had this bottle of Riesling that somebody gave me.
Too sweet.
Oof. I can't drink it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he took it to school. I'm like, go ahead. They're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know? You're going to be 19. And if this was another country, it wouldn't have even been an issue.
It would have been an issue, right.
It would not have been
but
an issue.
There's something to be said about that, because I had a friend, one of my best friends in high school, he was an only child. So he didn't have any influences other than whoever his friends were, which is why, you know, his mother was very protective. She was a school teacher. So she liked that he hung out with me because we lived in the same neighborhood, and she had been my like grade school teacher. So
and
she
you're
knew,
good influence. She was like, oh yeah,
right.
You hang out with that one. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, there was no question if we were hanging out together, she didn't make him call.
She didn't have to think.
Well, she still kind of did, because that's just how he needed to be trained. But
she didn't have to worry excessively.
No.
Right, that's
she
great.
It wasn't like a shady, like, who are these people? I'm going to track you down.
That Elisa, she's so shifty, that Elisa.
Yeah, she's so crafty.
No. She's the best friend ever.
She was usually pretty tight on the reins with him, with anyone, you know, anyone outside of our circle of friends that she knew.
Mm-hmm.
And for good reason, because, you know, like our senior year, we'd already graduated. That's right. We'd already graduated. We'd gone to celebrate. One of our friends had access to a beach house.
Oh, boy.
Her mother, like they, this is the part of the town where they lived. They it's a barrier island called John's Island. And there's a, through John's Island, you get to another well-known place called Kiowa Island. So there's in Seabrook Island, there are like a lot of these different, you know, island towns. And so a lot of people will get rentals in a community, like a gated community there. So you kind of have to know people to even have access to that.
Yeah.
So fortunately, my friend, one of my friends, her mother worked there at one of those resorts. So we were able to get one for our as a graduation gift. You know, we could spend a week there after we graduated.
Oh, my God.
And it was still early enough in the season where, you know, it wasn't too crowded,
right?
Which is perfect, because we would have gotten in a lot more trouble.
Oh, what a ruckus you kids must have caused.
Which is kind of funny, you know, because most of my friends were also the younger siblings of much more cooler, popular, older kids like my brothers, you know?
Right. The irony of it all.
Like we knew what kind of stuff they did when they were in school. And we're like, we are so tame by comparison. Like, we're basically goody two-shoes. We're not doing anything wrong. And they're usually supplying us with stuff. Like, you know, they're the ones that the older siblings would be the ones to give us alcohol. You know, oh, you're having a party? Yeah, we can get that for you. So that was great. But we were not the wild kids.
No.
But you could see the ones who had older brothers or sisters, because we were all cool. Like, we were like, okay, well, we'll just, you know, we'll keep it simple. You know, we have our stuff. We have a contained safe space.
You knew how to do the logistics. That's so funny.
Right. You know, but this one, the only child, no other role models.
Lost
just
little thing.
Just got. He was
out
just abused, you know, just abusive to himself. Just like, oh, you're out of control.
And that's what happens if you're so repressed. It's like, you know, the Catholic high school syndrome, you know? Oh, no.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and so naturally, you know, when he started school, you know, he joined a fraternity. But, you know, he was ultimately a good kid, but he kind of went through that crazy phase where.
Yes, that's normal. Right.
Yeah, you're testing boundaries and that and whatnot. But the rest of us figured, he's the one that you kind of have to keep an eye on. He's probably the one most likely to end up in an emergency room because
you're the one. Right.
to have the mystique taken out of alcohol or beer.
Exactly. It's not a big deal.
So I think it's smart to have it when if your family does like to drink, like have a beer at meals or wine, then I think it's in a setting that is appropriate, you know.
Exactly.
It's in a setting that makes sense, and you see, it complements the food or whatever. So, but every family has, you know, there's always some person who has that addictive nature, and then they end up kind of ruining it for the rest of us. But you have to be able to maybe see that to discern. Well,
yep.
That's, I don't want to be that person.
Right.
You know? You want to be able to enjoy yourself and have everyone else have an enjoyable evening. So, you know, you just, I think it's really interesting, because that is the case. You know, of course, in college, you're going to.
Oh, forget it. But,
you know,
absolutely.
You're going to have all these different experiences.
You're
going to
be doing lots of things. And any parent who thinks that's not going to happen, what planet do you live on?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and being a, I was a an admissions rep for a women's college. So, I being the person that I am, I realize I'm like the one of the few people who did this, because I established relationships with the parents as well as the students that I was recruiting.
Oh, that is
so
good.
If they ended up going to my school, those parents knew how to get in touch with me, because I was still working through that new cycle.
Right.
when they started. And so a lot of them were, you know, they knew how to get in touch with me, and they were concerned about their, you know, she hasn't called me back, or, you know, I don't know what's going on with her. And I'm thinking, well, I said, you know, I am on the road. I don't stay
right.
on campus.
You're not a babysitter. Right.
Right. And I said, well, but, and I'll check in, but I said, you have to trust that you,
right.
you
gotta
raise
let
your daughter.
Gotta let, yeah.
Yeah. That, you raise your daughter to make some decisions and to follow
right.
up on some actions.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, if they're going to stray a little bit, which tends to happen because
of course,
they're not
that's normal.
Under, yeah. They're not under your control.
They're free for the first time.
You've got to trust
mm-hmm.
that what you taught them will help
right.
them through.
Right.
But I tell
right.
you what, I mean, even as an advisor over the years for, you know, my service fraternity, that there are tragic consequences for people.
But yes.
You know, if,
yes.
I mean, that's so hard to take because you think, oh, I could have done something or why weren't
right.
my friends around? And, you know, if people slip something in someone's drink and they don't know what kind of reaction they're going to have.
Oh, my God, I know.
You know, our chapter has named it's an award for like, the best pledge in that particular pledge class every semester. And it's in memory of
oh my
pledge.
God. Oh.
And she wasn't, so it wasn't on a, you know, on one of our outings because we don't do that. We don't have like, oh, we're going to go, you know, we're going to throw down at a club. We don't
right.
do that.
Right.
But it was her, you know, she someone slipped her, I think, some ecstasy at a club.
Oh, no.
And so she
oh, no.
ended up
she didn't
having
know.
A
she
very,
didn't know?
Very, she didn't know.
Oh, no,
yeah,
that's so, oh my God, that's like raping your brain.
Well, yeah,
you know
she didn't
I mean?
Even
like,
know that there was anything in her that she was anything in her drink.
That's what I'm saying.
She had
that's
no idea.
Such a violation.
Yeah,
I mean, not
yeah.
knowing
so,
that is so damaging. Even knowing is bad, but not knowing.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
murder.
Well, I mean, that's I agree, but that was I remember getting that call.
Oh my God!
And I'm like, what? What do you mean? She was one of the sweetest people, you know. Just
so
like, oh, we're all going to go out, you know, we're all like the whole, all the freshmen were going to go out to some club or whatever.
She was a freshman?
And she was a freshman, yeah.
Oh, my God,
yeah.
her poor family.
Yeah.
So, but she was very sweet, so whatever moron thought, oh, well, let's, it's almost like if somebody, and this happens more often than I even want to comprehend, if somebody exploits somebody who has a developmental disability, the
right.
same thing. It's somebody taking advantage of an innocent child. Like that's robbing somebody of their innocence. She probably
right.
was such a sweet innocent. So this it's like bullying. Like this is for sport. Let's just toy with this person. This is for my pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
This is for my entertainment. How dare you?
Yeah.
Wow. That's so upsetting.
And so
upsetting.
She made it home. She made it home, but
poor thing.
Yeah, it had an effect on her, and she was, you know, they had to call 911, and she was unresponsive after she returned back.
Well, she had a fatal reaction to drugs.
Yeah.
But she was probably a sweet, innocent kid.
Yeah.
Oh, her poor family. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean that was that was back in '99.
Damn.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, there are you have those stories, you know, these things happen. So it's paying attention. It's doing as much as you can to look out for everybody, look out for yourself. But you know, there are things that you just don't know. You just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, girls are being taught, and guys too, but I know one mother of a college-age daughter gave her a chain with a bottle opener on it so she opens her own beer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I even told my son, get another drink. Just walk around that cup or get a fresh one. It's just not worth it. And he's seen enough, even in high school, he's seen enough sloppiness that he's like, oh no, that's really not for me. So, and the fact that he likes to spend so much time at home when he's not in school, thank you, Jesus. I'm very fortunate. Now, his younger brother, who's 12 and feeling himself,
right?
I'm like, Lord Jesus, Mary Joseph, please let me just get through the next 5.5 years. Please let me just get through the next, just it's a whole thing. But to not have it be this crazy stigma, forbidden, whatever.
Yeah, just makes it more attractive to
exactly.
You know,
it's not a big deal. Yeah,
check
mommy's
it out.
Have a, yep, yep, yep. So and sometimes we'll drink tart cherry juice to help us sleep, which is a very wonderful natural thing to help with that. So what we do for fun is you don't need a lot of it, maybe like 2 ounces, so that's like 2 shot glasses. So we'll do it in shot glasses, just because it's fun for my little son, for my younger son. It's fun for him, and it just kind of takes like the nonsense out of it. I assume he's going to be my date for New Year's Eve. I assume it's just going to be he and I, you know, and he will have like a quarter of a glass of champagne with me. He will.
Right.
Absolutely. And then sparkling apple cider, you know,
right,
before and after. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think just take the forbidden nature out of it, and you can still have a good time without being under the influence. And, you know, the way that you put it, like, it can really be like an art if certain wines compare with certain foods. And some people really turn it into this beautiful art form.
Yeah.
You know, that's anything. Anything in the extreme, you know, you got to be careful. But if things are used with a light touch, nothing wrong with it. So.
Yeah, I would say, you know, I lined it up pretty well. I mean, because my brothers really got their crazies out, and I was witness to a lot of it, you know, sometimes
right,
when I couldn't go away with my parents for the weekend, and they, you know, that they left us at home, and my brothers were supposed to be in charge of everything.
Oh yeah, right.
Throwing a party.
You were probably in charge.
And,
right.
And yeah, I was the one that had to answer the phone. Like, they, you know, the phone rang at
they're
10,
like, get
whatever,
the
at
phone.
Night. They're like, shut the whole house up. Like, shut up.
Oh, that's
the phone
so funny.
Is ringing. You know, it could be our parents. You know, that was, you know, pre caller ID.
Right, right, right. Oh, that's
way
so funny.
Before that.
Right.
So you know, we knew our parents were going to call once they, you know, sometime in the evening they're going to just check in, and, you know, just before they go to bed, just check in and say hi. So there would be like a whole house full of people, three phones in the house, but you know, one was in my parents' room, which we lock off. We would close off. Don't even.
Yeah, that's
mess
good.
With our parents.
You can't hide the bodies there, right?
Right.
Right.
They don't want to have to dig through any of that stuff.
Right.
So the only other phone besides the one in my brother's room was in the kitchen, which is the smallest room in the house. And of course, naturally, in the kitchen, this is where everyone was staying. So you know, my brothers would try to get everyone to shut up. So you tell a whole house full of people to shut up so their little sister could answer the phone.
Oh, Jesus.
And on behalf of everybody, you know, the brothers, like, yeah, we're fine. You know, just hanging out.
You took the hit. You took the hit for the team.
I'm like, hey, Mom, hey, Dad. Yeah. And it was just like, and really, you know, we were fine. Everything was fine.
Yeah,
you know,
you weren't lying.
Now,
technically, you were telling the truth.
If they had called a little bit later, like at say 3 o'clock in the morning, well, the police would come by twice to tell us to keep it down. But you know, but we,
right,
you know,
but
otherwise
that was before then. So
that was before then. It was early. So, but I'd say I lined it up. Like, I'm glad I'm the baby of the family. I'm glad I
yes,
got to see.
You got to see. Yeah,
I got to see some things. Because even at those parties, you know, I would have. You know, my brother's friends were mostly, you know, well, not mostly, it was like probably half and half as far as the girls and guys go. But a lot of the guys who would hang out, they would just like check in on me, like, hey, what are you drinking? You know, like, you don't need to be drinking that. Or they'd already be drunk and be telling me, like, you know, yeah, you know, you can't, you got to take care of yourself, you know. They were always kind of looking out for me, and it was kind of interesting to have them be like that in their state.
Right, isn't that funny? The irony of it all.
Yeah, and I remember one of my brothers, you know, with like probably a glass in his hand, like, don't ever let me catch you drinking.
Right. Meanwhile, he's like, where's Jack Daniel's?
Yeah, he's completely sloshed. I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure you won't ever catch me.
Right. That's funny. Like, that's you were witty back then, right? She had a dry wit then. That's cute. You would never
don't worry, big bro.
Yes,
you won't
right.
ever catch me.
Right. 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 Yeah. Not an issue I'm even thinking about. So thank you ever so.
But
yeah, because you imagine, you know, being an only child, and you just have a bunch of adults to refer to. There's no way. And, you know, even with my 12-year-old having a brother who's 6.5 years older, it is helpful, you know, because the older one, the oldest, is the one that's, you know, he's the beta tester for everything. And it's comforting as a parent. And I was very comforted by my older son when he said, you know, Jeremiah's going to be okay, because he had found some journals when he was around the same age and what he was going through. He's like, you know what? He's going to be okay. He's going to be fine, you know. And you look back to that, time, and look, for all the bumps and scrapes that I occurred my entire life, well, I'm still bumping and scraping, God only knows, because you would think that would kind of wind down, but it hasn't for whatever reason. For all the bumps and scrapes, and I can't say a damn word to my kids. I can't say nothing, you know, because they're like the blessed mother compared to what I did in my day. So I cannot say, no, I cannot say anything. And my whole objective, and I think I said this on Tuesday's show, which was a very touching show for me, just to deal with and get off my chest some of the crazy things and the painful things that were going on. I'm just leading with, even if my opinion might be different, if I put them first and I just lead with love, who cares about the small stuff?
Right.
You know, maybe I'm being tested in some way or whatever, but just if I lead with love, and what made me, I was so touched, it made me so happy yesterday. So Wednesday is therapy day when I take my son to his therapist. So this is his third session. It's the first time, it's actually the second time I've taken him. The other two times I had a friend, and then I had his dad because I was out of the country. And so I gave her a little present from Colombia, you know, a little Christmas whatever. And, you know, she came out to thank me. She said, oh, he's so happy you're back. I said, oh, my God, thank you. That's so nice. That's so nice to hear. And then when we were on our way home, he said, you don't stress me out. You just don't stress me out. I said, all I can do is love you, even though you make me crazy with being late for school all the time and your homework and all of that. But I just have to love you and just let that go. In the big picture, what's more important? If I get a call from a truancy officer about tardiness, okay, then we got to revisit this. But is it because like you said something very helpful, that you think, well, okay, the default settings that it's my fault. Why? Because I need to have control. Well, maybe he needs to have accountability and responsibility. And if there's anything really crazy or serious, you know, I love his school and there's a lot of transparency. And when I went to pick him up yesterday from school to take him to his therapy session, two of the teachers saw me sitting there, and they both went out of their way to, you know, talk to me. And one teacher who he's had some issues with, but they're slowly progressing, He's like, he's 12. I'm like, I know. And then the other one was like, we know. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, you know what? They really, this is what they deal with all the time. So it's not going to be about control or about my wiring. I've always had an incredible work ethic my whole life. Thank goodness.
Right.
I've always been wired. But you know what? Because I probably have had to have been wired for survival my entire
right.
life. He not necessarily needs to be wired for survival because he's getting what he's needing.
Right.
And not much is being
right.
asked of him. You know, he has a good situation. He's a very good situation. So I'm stepping back. So if you're going to be tardy, you know, 3 out of 5 days a week, okay, let them say something to me. I'm doing everything that
right.
I can. I'm not going to have an argument. I'm not going to have an argument because you're going to be 5 minutes late. I'd rather say goodbye. He's going to be late anyway. I'd rather say goodbye saying, I love you, be careful.
Right.
And with a kiss. And just, okay, it's not in my control. And if it's a serious
yeah.
issue, I'll know about it. So that's on learning certain things. Just because I have this incredible work ethic and I'm very mindful of time and consideration for others' time,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe he'll learn the hard way. I don't know.
And that's how some people have to learn. I mean, you know, that is what's so interesting because there are things that I remember there are things that my mother would do, especially now, you know, I'm a third child, you know, so she's had two go arounds.
And you're a girl too,
plenty,
so it makes a little different.
Yeah.
Right.
And plenty of experience there. And then by the time I come along, you know, if I would choose to do something, like if I wanted to stay up late to watch some, you know, Fantasy Island or whatever, you know, to watch some TV show, like that was a stride. We made it through Love Boat. Can I watch Fantasy Island? You know, and there would be a time, you know, where my mom would say, you know, it's probably time to go to bed. But after a while, you know, she just said, you know what? You're the one that has to wake up in the morning.
Yep.
You have to wake up early in the morning. You know you have school, so I'm going to tell you once. If you know, it would be good for you to go to bed now.
Yep.
But, you know, if you don't, just know that, you know, I'm not going to be the one waking you up in the morning. And I'm like, okay.
And did you wake up the next day?
But it was hard, yeah.
Yeah, it was hard.
And so, but it was all kind of laid out. Like, my mom wasn't like, well, I think she just realized, you know, it's not – she probably didn't have the energy, quite honestly, to kind of keep all three of her kids together and
that's what
and
I'm saying.
On track.
Yeah,
you know?
That's
so
what
she's
I'm
like,
saying.
You know what?
Yeah, that's it.
You do it. And then at one point she was working. She was working. She had a little part-time job. And it was
right.
So it wasn't like it wasn't all day, but it had some strange, you know, like she wasn't home when we got home, which is
right.
normally when she's usually always home.
Right.
But if she was doing an afternoon shift, so there was a lot of adjusting, and she just sort of said, you know, you've got to figure these things out.
Yep.
And that was for all of us because we were all still in school. We all still live at home. But I think that's what I was telling you when I was in middle school, you know, I had like wrinkled clothes and probably dirty
right.
clothes on, you know,
right.
cause she was like, you know what, you've been in school for a few years now, so you should know what to expect. You know, I can pack you a few leftovers for lunch, but otherwise, you know, you're in charge of all of it.
That's great.
So, you know, and I had to figure it out. And I said at some point, she said, you know, you're going to need to learn how to do your own laundry. She
yep.
said, I don't know when, you know, all this stuff. I'm like, okay, well, I'll figure it all out. You know, and you know, I was able to ask her questions, and she was always very encouraging. But she had to let go of that need to control
exactly.
every single aspect.
That's thank you. That's exactly it. And that's I'm leading with love, and you know, like the way that your mother would talk to you, I would say the same thing without being a nag. This is what it is, you know. That's it. Figure it out.
And it really does because the way she put it was like, well, yeah, you are working, and of course you're not going to be home to cook all this stuff, and to, you know, she knew my dad's schedule, and even my dad had to adjust. But it just worked out. And so, I mean, they're not that I was taken to every single thing that she told me to do, but in hindsight, it's like, yeah, that's what she was trying to teach me, because
she's teaching life skills. Absolutely.
She, you know, she, if she could, I bet she would try to do everything for us.
Yes.
I know
course.
She would, because it's of something course. That she just like, she wants to share in the success of whatever we're doing, and she wanted to make sure it would be a good thing, make sure it was successful, and she wanted us to be happy. But like, it just, that's the sort of person she is.
Right.
But I know that physically and mentally, I'm sure she just couldn't handle doing all that stuff for all of us. And it just, you know, it's not feasible and it's not healthy. So she definitely had her hands full with my brothers, because they were so close in age. So it was almost like a double whammy, but didn't always hit at the same time. It would be like a delay of a few months, but it would be the exact same thing. You know, they'd kind of get in the same type of trouble or make the same kind of decisions, and she'd have to go through it all over again.
Right.
So I was, like I said, in hindsight, I'm like, well, yeah, you know, if she's busy doing this, then, you know, we have to do that. We have to fill in the gaps and do what we need to do. But she was always, I mean, I remember when she would tell me things, like she would be very encouraging. Like, I would take on some extra chores, and she's like, oh, you do that so well. I'm like, wait a minute. She just egging me on. So,
uh-huh.
So I bet you say that to all the kids that do all the dishes, you know, or whatever. But yeah, she had a way of encouraging me so that it was well received. I mean, I remember feeling like, well, that's always good to get praise from your mother, you know, for
always
doing stuff that,
yeah,
that
no matter what, we want approval.
Yeah.
Our whole lives. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, she just said, well, if you stay up too late, that is your choice.
Right.
Just know that you have to wake up in the morning. And
right.
You have to do your thing, and you have to be ready for school, and you have to, if all those things are taken care of and you feel that you can do it, then be my guest and stay up. So I'm like, all right.
And you stayed up.
And you know how I sleep. I can sleep.
Oh,
can
you
sleep.
Can sleep. Oh, my God. It's tough, you know, and then with the light savings or whatever, it's
oh, yeah.
still dark. What 12-year-old kid wants to get up? It's cozy. You got your
oh, yeah.
little superhero blankie on. You got your little penguin stuffed animal. Like, you know, he still likes a stuffed animal. He's probably going to kill me. But
I love it.
Yeah, it's so sweet. You know, meanwhile, he's like 5, you know, he must be like 5'8 or 5'9 by now. But
so sweet.
And, you know, size 12, whatever, but sweet. But my goodness, I don't blame, like, I don't want to get up. You know, and I'm like, I
yeah.
made you hot chocolate. I don't want to get up.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
want to get up. I don't blame it. I don't want to get up. You know.
I have a feeling like if I were a mother in this lifetime, then
oh.
I probably would have turned out to just be like probably more along the lines of my mom in the terms of nagging, because I'm like, what? I got up to do all this stuff, and you're not even
I know.
Up. You're going to give
know.
Me a sourpuss face, and like,
yep.
you know.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
I have a feeling yep. I probably would have lost it. But so
it's
I
very hard.
Like
it's
so
very
hard,
especially if you're wired differently. Oof.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I got to get up and do this. I want to yep. see some smiles on the faces.
You know, exactly, because I'm the one getting up. Everybody's like snug in a bug, snug in the rug in the bug, like whatever. And I'm like, where's the coffee?
Right.
You know, cause I need like 15 minutes to like not even deal with anybody and then get everything ready. And just the whole, like, you think I want to be like the nagging wife with the rolling pin and the cha-cha slippers? No. And the
yeah,
apron.
Yeah, no one wants
no.
that. No one
nobody wants
that.
Nobody wants that job. Nobody wants that job. And the thing is, I, for whatever reason, and it's a blessing, I am really wired to take time management as an art form.
Right.
You know, and it's not like I'm OCD, hyper-organized or whatever. I just know how to. Time to me is such a valuable commodity. I just know how to respect it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the way to put it, as opposed to being hyper-OCD, because I love being spontaneous. I love being so. It's not like I'm a big planner. There's enough planning going on. It's like, I love being spontaneous. Like, remember we went to Tennessee. Let's go. I love being spontaneous. I was in Colombia. We climbed a mountain. We didn't mean to, and we're like, okay, well, let's climb this mountain. Okay.
Yep.
You know, although I was crying, but yeah, we climbed the mountain.
You had an experience. Yeah.
Climb the mountain. Yeah, it's all about just being present and knowing that time is such a gift and that you can have spaciousness. If you're feeling stressed about time, then your mind has occupied that space to feel the spaciousness and to not mess with time. I know people who cut it so close, and there's no reason for that. I know so many people. There's no reason for that. You know, well, if there's no traffic, well, there's going to be traffic. It's going to take me 42 minutes. Well, you know what? Then leave like 62 minutes. Like, give yourself that breath. Give yourself that breath, because we can't control the traffic and the this and that and the other.
I'm one of those people. I tend to cut it close.
I know.
For me, I'm like, well.
No, well, nothing.
Eh.
Right. I know so many people. I'm like, no. Yeah, you want breathing room or just room to just have an adventure. You know, even if you just give yourself like that extra 10 minutes so you're not rushing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there really is an art to it. You know, give yourself like an extra 10 minutes that you think, and you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I wake up my younger son. And it doesn't even matter. It's like it's gonna be up to him if he's gonna be late or not. And it's, and I don't know if it's a defiant thing. I don't think so. But I'm internalizing like, oh my God, you're gonna be late. I'm internalizing that.
Right.
I'm like keeping real quiet, because I'm internalizing. Oh my God. And what is this, like, we're gonna go tubing? What is this, the lazy river? Like, what is, like, you gotta go. You're gonna be late. And he's like taking his time lacing up his sneakers, making sure he looks on point. And I'm thinking, oh my God, like you should have left 10 minutes ago.
What, how does he get to school? Does he have to take the bus?
No,
or
it's walking distance. Thank God. It's walking distance, but everything is electronic. So you have to swipe your ID. So I get an email that says every time he's late, because it's automatic.
I
know. So he's late. He's late more than he's on time.
On time.
Whatever.
So what are
so
the
when he's on time, it's like a prize.
Oh,
huh?
What are the consequences for him?
I'll find out. I'll find out.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll find out.
Yeah.
I'll find out. But I'm not going to sacrifice this. The state of well-being in this household, because I know I'm doing everything in my power outside of having a toxic fight, an upsetting morning. I'm doing everything but that, because if I said one more thing one more time, it would turn into that.
Right.
You know, and even if I'm like, all right, honey, I love you, get up, whatever, I know. I'm like, okay, here we go. I mean, I could be sweetness and light, and okay, I made you hot chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm like, all right, that's it. I don't blame him. I don't want to get up. It's still dark outside.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't want to get up.
You know, in high school, we had to be in school by 7:30.
Oh, that's rough.
The first bell rang at 7:20. You had 10 minutes. That in the morning. 7:20. Yeah. So first period started 7:30, then homeroom. And then, you know, so – that's high school.
High school. You don't want to do that. You're like going through stuff. You don't want to be up that early.
7:30 in the morning, and we were out by two twenty or something like that. We were out by in the early afternoon, technically, but then you
still
feel we're in any clubs. You were there. You know, you were there until like 5 or whatever. So
a long day.
So, yeah, I get it. I mean, it was always dark, unless it was springtime. It was always dark.
Dark
in the morning.
It's
you know,
wintertime, Christmas
in the
winter time. What kid wants to get up?
It's hard. It's really hard. I get it. But I tell you, you know, some of it was early on. Like, you know, part of it's just being brought up in an Asian family, like, you know, if you weren't making straight A's or, you know, fitting some of those stereotypes, then, you know, then there was probably some, there's some, you know, intervention that happened, you know,
right.
some guidebook for parents, like, oh, then your kid needs to do this, you know, you have to do this to them. But it was hard to bring back, you know, B's or, you know, so God forbid C's, you know, you're like, and almost like no words had to be spoken. It could just be a look. Like they would look through the papers and then just kind of give you a look like, well, what's going on here? And you're like, I don't know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But so there's some things that you kind of, it was already set. And especially by the time I came along, I got these two, you know, super brothers who were incredibly smart and popular and cool. And so you had all that stuff. And then you had to keep the grades up. So, you know, there are certain things that we just you almost didn't want to even entertain the thought of having that look come from your parents. So you're just like, okay, I'm gonna do whatever I can.
Right.
And you almost I knew like I had to tell them if I needed help with anything, because it just that look was enough to be like, I am so sorry. Like, yeah, I know I can do better.
Mm.
Yeah, I know what's within me to do better. So I only
right.
want to have that kind of conversation, but I can easily turn to defiance if it's expected, you know, and they say it like that, because then you're
right.
like, all right, I'll show you something different, you know, because it's like, I know I can do it.
Right.
And I know I don't have to do it, or I know I
right.
can do something else.
Right.
But,
right.
But there's a part of me that's like, out of all the things that I want to experience, like the disappointment of my parents is not one of them.
No, you don't want me to be disappointed. You'd rather have me be pissed. Right.
Right.
You'd rather have me be mad than
right.
disappointed. Disappointed is a
right.
whole other realm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you know, there are things that, as a family, like, you know, there are things, even in the larger family, not even everybody, like, in my extended family, like Anna's side, all that stuff. Not everyone went to school. Not everyone went to, you know,
exactly.
college. You know, they may have done something a little different, but they're all doing their thing. Like, and they're all
right.
successful in their own right.
They're
so
taking care of business, right?
They're taking it right. So there's a certain standard, and there's that's the sort of environment that we were raised in. Even if some of it was a little bit smoke and mirrors for my mom, because she had kind of lived in that world of everything was perfect, and so we have to do it, but when you really looked around, you know, everyone was doing their part, everyone was doing their thing, and you always heard about if someone had a difficulty, but it always seemed like there was always support. Like if they really needed to get the help, they could get it. That was always it was never a doubt in my mind that if
right.
I really needed help with something, even if it was something math related, that my father would be so far advanced that I knew it would be tough to learn from him, because he assumes so much that I know.
Right.
I'm like, no, Dad, talk to me like I'm stupid. Talk to me
exactly.
like I'm like a 2-year-old trying to learn this stuff, because I'm pretty sure there are plenty of steps I've missed along the way. So that was always a tense, like almost like you didn't want to deal with that. If you had to ask Dad for help for any like your math homework, you were in it for the long haul. Like you need to get a pot of coffee, you know,
right.
get some things to take some time out every so often, because it was going to be hard. It was going to be
wow.
really hard. He's a hard teacher. So I'm like, I'd rather the alternate of having to do that was like, I got to figure this stuff out soon. I got to turn it around. So like, that's how it had been set up. To where there's leeway for you to find your own way, and you knew you had, it's almost like, not, I don't want to say a safety, but there was support. But honestly, for me at least, like getting any bit of disappointment, especially when I know better and I knew better, like that just didn't make any sense to me to do that. So I just didn't, you know, I mean, certainly not a perfect child, but I was a pretty good kid. So there was certain things that just as a, that's, you talk about default setting, that's like the Bangalore default setting, like, you know, don't mess up, don't mess up and get that look from your mother or your father.
Right. I wish my look had the same impact as your parents' look. I'm like, is this thing on? No. Okay. Okay. Thanks. Okay.
Oh man. Yeah. Yeah. It's, what was I watching last night? I kind of catch up on some of my shows. On TNT, they have Good Behavior,
right,
which is a really interesting show where the main character, it's based on a book. I haven't read any of those books, but the main character is a serial, like, well, basically a liar and a thief. I mean, she steals stuff. I mean, that's her thrill. And she has an addictive personality, so she likes to, you know, she will just overdo it with the drinking and the drugs. But she's like a chameleon. Like, she knows how to fit in and kind of get what she needs.
Mm-hmm.
And then she ends up meeting a contract killer, like a hitman. Like, that's what he does for a living, is he kills people. But in his own mind, it's because, you know, these are bad people. You know, so people are hiring me to kill people who've done bad things. So he's not happy about it, but he's good at it. And he seems feels justified. But he doesn't like that she steals, which is really funny. And she doesn't
That's
like
that. That's
the
irony, right? The irony of it all, right?
Right. But you see, and he's from Argentina. And she, the setting is in North Carolina. So she, the actress, the actress is British. It's really funny because she definitely doesn't have, you know, that twangy North Carolina.
You know, and why
accent.
Can't I get somebody who's from North Carolina? There's so many talented. That makes me crazy.
Yeah. So she has a kid. The whole point of it's called Good Behavior. She got out of prison.
Oh, for Good Behavior.
For Good Behavior. She got out of prison early for Good Behavior. But she had a parole officer. You know, there's all this, like, you can kind of stay in line. And so while she's been away, she's got a son who is, I don't know how old, like, he's still in grade school, maybe middle school. But it's a mixed race kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're trying to sell it that was her kid, but I'm like, he looks like a black boy, so I just don't see that. her mother has been raising him while she's been away. And so there's tension between the mother and the daughter because the mother's like, you know, yeah, I'm having to take on this additional responsibility for you. She loves her grandson.
Of course,
she
has nothing to do with that. Right.
Right. But it's like, what are you doing? And it's not fair to her son to have her in and out of her life, in and out of his life. But she's trying to get it together. And so we're into, I think, the second season, third season, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But this past week's episode, her mother is taking care of the kid again because she realized, like, the life that we're living, they're having to basically lie to everybody so that they can, you know, kind of fit in. She's just trying to get him into a stable environment, but she's unstable. So some really bad stuff happened. She's like, I can't have him be in jeopardy here. Like, I need him to feel safe. So she is heartbroken to have to let him go, but she's like, I'm going to bring him back to his grandmother.
Oh, my God.
And so she goes on a bender, and she's, you know, she's off the grid for a while. And so she calls up, I think her mother calls her up at some point. And because now the story is playing out with the younger son, with the son, is that he's being accused of taking I guess, step-grandfather, grandfather's mower out. And this is everyone's really young. Like, even the main character, her mother, ended up dating one of her high school friends. Like, so the age difference, like, it's someone, not, you know, friend from high school, not when they were in high school, but so they end up getting married. And so so everyone's really young, even the grandmother, you know, the mother is, you know, she's older, but, you know, but she's dating a much younger man.
Hello.
And his livelihood is he does lawn services, so he's got this
very successful money maker, right?
Right. And so he is super cool. You know, he's like a little kid, but he, the husband. But that's, yeah, he was really disappointed. He loves the grandkids, but just is like, what happened here? And so they have all these different bits of evidence that points to the grandson doing it, but he's like, I didn't do it.
Mm.
And he's like not making any eye contact. Like, I didn't do it. So the grandmother, the mother ends up calling her daughter saying, you know, maybe I'm noticing some things that he's doing now that you used to do at your age. And she's like, what did I do wrong?
Oh my God.
Because I don't want him to go down this path of
she
being
end up like you,
pathological
end up like
liar. Yeah.
Right.
To be a liar, you know, mm-hmm. and to just, and so it was an interesting conversation, an interesting scene.
Mm.
Like, she's like, how did I fail you? So that
wow, and that's such a raw on all sides because no one's feeling good about any of this.
Right, right.
And what did the daughter say?
Right. She's like, the son's name is Jacob. She's like, well, Jacob is not me. So he's a good kid. She said, I was going to be this way no matter what. Like, I'm just wired this way. It's not like there wasn't anything you could do, really.
Mm.
But she said that he's a good kid. He needs rules. He likes structure. And so she's sort of telling her what she said. I hated the rules. I was suffocated by them, which is why I had to break them. But my kid needs rules and he likes structure. So that's probably why she wanted to send him back to, you know, his grandmother,
right.
Because she could offer the stability and the rules and the structure. And the mother's like, oh, you know what? You're right. Even during games, he makes up additional rules if he doesn't feel like there's enough. You know?
Oh my God.
So it was just, so it was interesting.
And, and there's a point to that too. If she says, "Well, I was going to end up like that anyway," I mean, what is there to be said for destiny? Or you can call it a contract. You can call it whatever you
right.
want to call it.
Right.
With all the chaos that's happening all over the place, What can we do as responsible adults? What can we do as responsible parents without it crossing that line of creating a toxic situation, adding to the pile of wounds, being exasperated, giving up, turning your back? Like, you don't want to do any of those. You don't want to do any of those things. I mean, there really isn't any right answer. So all... Again, like, it just goes back to that default setting of,
yeah.
I just have to lead with love and trust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think about my family situation and my oldest brother who,
uh-huh.
you know, we still haven't heard from him and we all have the same, you know, parents and the same environment.
Yeah. That's a good, good example. Yeah.
But yeah. And there wasn't any, there was like, if he didn't want to be reached, he's not going to be reached.
No. How long has it been now? It's a couple of years now.
A couple of years, at least a couple.
Yeah,
maybe,
several.
Maybe three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And your parent, it's probably what's not really, I don't know if I would imagine that it's not really something that's spoken about.
No, that's really hard for them. I know
yeah,
it's really hard
I know,
them.
Oh, I'll. It absolutely is. It absolutely is because, of course, they're going to think, okay, what could we have done differently? Nothing.
And there isn't anything. Right.
There's nothing. And at least they have your other brother and yourself to comfort them in terms of, okay, look, we did good. We did good. And we don't understand. And as long as the other one is healthy and safe and out of trouble, that's all we can hope for. But I have
right.
a very good friend of mine whose brother is either homeless or dead.
Mm.
You know, same environment, yeah. same everything. And so it's just whatever's supposed to happen in this path, in this life. And why add to the, you know, we could get very Abraham Hicks here. Why add to the less than better feeling?
Right.
So if my son's going to be late for school anyway, I'd rather say goodbye to him with a kiss than with him, you know, slamming the door in my face.
Yeah.
You know what I
yeah.
mean? So
yeah.
I'm just going to Abraham Hicks, you know, this holiday season. So it's a great way to just whatever is going to lead you to the better. Because we just don't know. We just don't know. And there's so much out of our control. It really is surrender to that better feeling place and see what happens from there. And on that note, I am so glad the show was a conversation with just the two of us.
Me too.
I'm so glad. So if you guys need to get a hold, I know, right? If you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Radio on Facebook and check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. This particular show will be back on the air this coming Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Love you all. Love you, Elisa. And
love
in
you
the,
too.
My girl. And in the meantime, remember to follow the feeling to you. Have a great day. Love you guys.
I love you.
Bye.